So good morning, kia ora. I'll just check the sound here. We're preaching through a series entitled One Anothering. I think this is, we're quite a few into it by now. And we're on a journey with a vision of being a flourishing Christian community with a mission to connect people to God and to one another. And it brings us to pose the question, what does it really mean to follow Jesus' command to love one another as I have loved you? I believe you will be amazed that the scripture from James, written nearly 2,000 years ago, gives such great perspective on how to build authentic connections and how loving one another is expressed in the power of prayer. Hope Whangarei, our church here, has a long-standing ministry of small groups called Connect Groups, and I've had the blessing of visiting most of them over the last few months and met most of you. In these groups, there's always an empty chair. It's there to welcome new members. And what could a person expect who comes to sit in this seat for the first time? What I experienced was the deep love for one another in these groups, and especially how you all prayed for each other and the world. So in our reading today, which was James chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, three verses, as was said, James, the brother of Jesus, says that we should not go through life alone. And he describes three circumstances that are part of human life: happiness, hardships, happiness, and hurting. And in the midst of these, James' command is to pray for one another. And he certainly knew what he was talking about. He practiced what he preached, James. For in tradition, he had a nickname, and it was Old Camel Knees, because he spent so much time on his knees in prayer. What a great nickname. So he writes, are any of you suffering hardships, afflictions, troubles, circumstances that are just too hard to bear? And it does just sometimes seem so tough. Earlier up in the same chapter, in verses 10 and 11, James writes of Job, the suffering of Job. And in the book of Job from the Old Testament, this is a man who lost all his property and his children died, and he suffered great physical agony. And we read also that Job somehow realized that the wisdom and sovereignty of God was far beyond his own individual human understanding. But how do we get some of this insight into God's wisdom? James encourages us to pray and to live a life in continuous relationship with God and with another, which is only possible through this power of prayer. Are any of you cheerful? You should sing praises. And the joy or happiness which James is speaking of is something that can be beyond our circumstances. It is combined with courage or endurance. We have an expression for this in New Zealand, kia kaha, be strong. We have an assurance in God's goodness. And in French, another language that I think you know I love, we say bon courage, good courage. And the word courage has the word heart in it, cœur, which means heart. People take heart because tribulation is also the best friend of triumph. in our journey of faith, just somehow, hardship and happiness can go together hand in hand in the power of prayer. As we pour out our heart together in prayer, we might ask God why. You know, why this hardship? Why this is happening? But somehow that courage in our heart is stirred towards joy, stirred towards praise. The word that James uses truly actually means to pluck on a harp or to sing with our vocal cords, just like we love to do when we come here together on Sunday. And this certainly happens. And then James also asks, are any one of you sick? Is anyone sick? Call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. We are all faced with illness, mental hurting and physical hurting, and sometimes it seems more prevalent than wellness. And the type of illness that James refers to here is that where we are really at a weak point. And he states we should not go through that on our own. Ask for help from people in the church. And one thing I noticed was that James doesn't say, ask them first if you're not bothering them, or they might be too busy. We frequently think, oh no, you know, I can't put that burden on someone else. Or we might wait, hoping that somebody will contact us. But what I found in this passage was revealed that James says, take the initiative. You should call for the elders. So you can take initiative, or someone from your family. And don't wait. Or fill one of these empty seats in the Connect group. Be there so that as part of your Christian journey and your faith together, you have people praying for you. The anointing of oil, it's a question there. It is a spiritual practice for the benefit of our community. It's firstly, what I see, a symbol of holiness. In the Old Testament, the anointing of kings and priests was a symbol of being set aside and holy for God. And in today's context, by coming to pray for you and anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord, people in the church confirm your trust and your faith in God in this very difficult time. The oil may symbolize Christ as the Lord of your life, the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God with you. It confirms both your faith and ours. And as well as a symbol of holiness, oil in the ancient world was seen as having medicinal properties. And we also have some oils such as manuka or eucalyptus with medicinal properties. But what I hear James encouraging us is also to look for medical solutions for illnesses. And we have many people here in this church who are involved in care and wellness. We have our own medical a clinic down in the same building. And so James encourages us to seek these medical solutions, and praying about them with other people can give God's wisdom in the circumstances. We also pray in support of our precious medical staff. James concludes in verse 15, such a prayer offered in faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. Yes, we must pray for divine intervention and healing. And believe me, Jesus does still heal today, and we have some examples in our own congregation. Yet, this word of healing or save, in some translations it says heal, in some translations it says save. So it's a meaning that is deep and wide in the New Testament. It's a healing that's not just confined to our physical being. Our very salvation is in view. Our souls are healed too and saved. Our whole being, we are delivered. And along with this, James speaks that the effect of such a prayer will make you well. You will be raised up in the here and now, and then ultimately in eternal life. We see this word used in the stories of Jesus who heals the sick. We also see it in the resurrection of Jesus. James mentions the forgiveness of sins, and it would be incorrect to connect illness to sin. This is not what I believe is being said. It is confirming that prayer leads to the forgiveness of sin, which restores our relationship to God and to one another in the here and now and in life eternal. Another important part of prayer, which James commands us to do, he says should, is to confess your sins to one another. I think that one of our human traits that keeps us in far away from God and from one another is pride. In pride, we may think we're self-sufficient and in control. Or we may think that only someone else has done something wrong, not ourselves. To do what James says takes enormous courage, and it takes trust. But one of the barriers to loving one another in community is broken relationships. And in the midst of hardship, happiness, and hurting, James asks us to just sit down and say, I've done something wrong, or I may not be right. This is what is meant by confessing our sins to one another. It's about owning up for our own part and not using somebody else's wrongs to pardon ourselves. But it takes being weak and vulnerable, and sometimes that means that we might just think people will criticize us, or it might open up something that will harm us even more. It's hard. But by confessing our sins to one another, we bring our wrongs into the light, and we release ourselves to be the human beings that God always intended us to be, walking and talking and fellowshipping with God and with one another, as it was planned at the beginning of creation. So we started off today talking about connect groups and the empty chair that is left to welcome anyone, and underlying that we care for one another in the power of prayer. Did you notice how many times James said the word anyone? Is anyone suffering? Is anyone happy? Is anyone sick? And earlier, just a few lines up, he says, does anyone need wisdom? So there's no prerequisite for prayer. There's no prerequisite of good or bad behavior. There's no prerequisite for your neighbors to be Christians or not Christians. Prayer is for anyone, and it's for you all to offer to anyone. Yay! It's here for you to bring to anyone, and this is the way that God works with humanity in the power of prayer. So this brings us to a conclusion, but I think Meg said it as well. We always have prayer ministry in this church. So if you do not know, or if you doubt Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, if you just want to know God more, if you need to bring problems to people and pray over them and ask for the intervention of the Holy Spirit, but also if you just want to praise and thank God for something wonderful that's happening, we have Kevin and we have Elaine on duty this morning, and I'm sure that they just want to, like all of you here, obey Jesus' command to love one another as I have loved you, and this through the power of prayer. Thank you. Back to you, Meg.